I will have you turn with me in just a moment, but could I just tell you that I'm just going to give you my title right up first, and then we're going to look at the Word of the Lord. And I want you to believe that God has something to say to you. How many believe God has something to say to you? If we could take this moment and say, well, we're at Sunday, we're supposed to be together, we're supposed to be in this place, but it's not just because we're doing it in a sense of, well, we have to be here. How many know you should be, you're commanded to be together in God's house, amen? But more than that, God wanted to meet us here every Sunday. And God wants to do something this Sunday. So I want to talk to you about this something, this little title, if you'd let me. God's got something for that. Now here's where it came from. I'll just give you the, I was getting ready to preach on a Mother's Day, and I was studying Brother Cox, and I was getting my heart all lined up, and I began to think about how I was going to preach, and you kind of want to be clever on Mother's Day, and the Lord just kind of gave me this thought, you know, mom's always got something for that. Anybody have a mother that had something for that? You got a cold, and she's got a rub. It may smell horrible. It may... You got something growing on your toenail? Mom's got something for that. And I just was thinking of all the remedies that moms have. And so I got ready to preach, and the Lord just kind of put in my heart that God's got something for that.
I believe it.
And I will say this, if the enemy could stop you today, he would stop you from believing that God has an answer for your life.
Yes, sir.
But if the Holy Ghost can help us,
yes,
we can walk out of this place believing that God's got an answer for whatever I'm facing. The book of Acts chapter number 2, let's read just this verse for a moment and then we'll be seated. Acts 2 and verse number 36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified.
Yes.
Now, what have you got for that? You just crucified Jesus.
Yes.
What have you got for that?
Yeah. Wow.
Yes. He was, by the way, both Lord and Christ.
And Christ,
and you crucified him. So they asked in the next verse, the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, let me put it in my own words, what have you got for what we just did?
Yeah.
What shall we do? What should we do? We just crucified the Lord.
Yeah.
And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you,
yes,
in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, every sin.
Every.
Somebody say every sin.
Every.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask you to touch us right now. We're thankful for your powerful word, God, that you would touch every heart. Thank you to be in this place, in this wonderful opportunity to preach, God, your word. I thank you, God, for your goodness that's here. Bless somebody and help somebody in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My wife and I were traveling not too long ago, and she was commenting as we reminded of our daughter's broken arm that had happened several years ago. Many years ago, my daughter was playing on the playground and fell off the jungle gym and broke her arm. It was years past that the arm has healed and come together. But my wife was driving down the road the other day, not too long ago, a few months, maybe a year ago or so, and we were driving. She, out of the blue, asked my daughter a question. She said, do you remember breaking your arm? And my daughter said, yes, I remember breaking my arm. And it just grieved my wife so much because no mother wants any pain ever to come to her child. And she asked a question that was startling to me because I just couldn't grasp really as a mother does the heart for her children. She said, can I ask you a question? And she said, do you remember any of the pain from that? And if I remember correctly, my daughter said, "You know, I've kind of forgotten all that." I don't remember the pain, because at that time we grimaced as parents, remembering and holding her as the pain she was going through, and remember taking pictures even and reminded. But I was startled by one thing in that scenario, that my wife to that day, even to this day, would be horrified if somehow her daughter even remembered the pain of something that she had gone through. That was the heart of a mother. And if that's true, then what kind of a God do we serve, who created the fathers and the mothers and the love that is in their heart? Well, let me just give you an instance of where God kind of demonstrated it. He gave us a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 21. He said, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt." He said, "I am wounded because I see my daughter Israel who is hurt." He said, "I am black with astonishment and then taken hold of me." He said, "It hurts me to see my people, my daughter Israel, in pain. I don't want to see them suffering with the things that they're suffering." And he added a verse that we love so dearly. In the next verse, he said, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" He said, "I want to tell you something. There is a healing in Gilead for my people. There's a touch for my people. It hurts me that my people would be in pain." I've come to tell somebody this morning, God's got something for your pain. God's got something for your life. God's got something for every situation. God's got something. Jeremiah is termed the weeping prophet. He looks out over the humanity as he writes this in the words and says, he sees in eternity the culture that prevailed in that day. Jeremiah is the one that is looking around and seeing all the hurt from the sin and from the pain. And he writes, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" He said, "There is. There is a balm in Gilead." He's given us that understanding. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I believe Jeremiah had no USA Today. I don't believe he had CNN on his phone. But if he had it today, what would he write about our time? What would he write about the hurt? I read an interesting article this morning about West Virginia. As I was just studying through, there was a teacher that they followed that over 50% of his students in his class have lost their parents to the opioid crisis, as was mentioned just a little bit ago. That he watches in his classroom walk in student after student that come in and their parents are lost, have died, or have gone away to prison because of the opioid crisis in his class. And he said, beyond teaching them, he said, "I try and teach them as much as I can, but I know I've got a job to get a hold of something in their life. I've got to watch as they come in their eating habits." He said, "I've got to watch if they're hungry." He said, "I got to watch if they're emotionally disturbed." He said, "If they catch something educationally, that'd be great, but I've got to be in tune with far something greater." And I hear Jeremiah the prophet say, "Is there not a balm in Gilead in America in 2018? Is there not something that can reach somebody in this day?" James wrote of righteousness in James chapter 1 verse 12. He said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised him that loved them." He's got something for everybody. But he says in the next verse, "Let no man, when he is tempted, say, 'I am tempted of God,' because there's a righteousness for you if you'll follow God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither can he tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished," let me just go a little bit before I say death, "it brings pain, it brings hurt, it brings somebody broken, it brings relationships destroyed, it brings somebody hurting in a place where they don't know what to do. And sin, when it is finished," young people, hear me, "it not only brings pain, but it brings eternal damnation." But I hear the prophet saying, "Is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there not a God that is hurt for the hurting of a nation? Is there not a God that is hurting for the hurt that are in Warsaw? There's a God and there's a balm in Gilead. Sin will take you farther than you sought. There's two lies of the enemy that sin won't take you that far, that you got it under control. The great danger is not knowing that it's already taken you a distance so far from God. He says they don't even realize where they're at. They're so far from me. They're without healing. And the other sin, though, the other lie about sin is simply this, that the mercy and grace of God is for when you get better all by yourself. You're so far from God. You're so distant from, you may not even realize it. There's sin does things and puts us in a distance. And one of the lies is he tries to get us to think that it's not that bad. We're not that far. But as soon as we realize and wake up, I'm further than I thought I was. Then he tells us that mercy and grace is too far off. But the truth is, he's a God that is a present help in the time of trouble. Your sin has brought you further than you thought, but God's not that very far. In fact, I love the psalm that says, mercy and truth are in the way. They're coming to meet you. They're the God's representatives. Truth that says you've got to change, but mercy that comes along with it that says, I'm looking to save somebody. Can I just tell you, I don't know what you're facing, but God has got something for that. God has an answer for your family. God has an answer for your sickness. God has an answer for cancer. God has an answer for unrighteousness. God has an answer for the depression. God's got something for what you're going through. Is there no balm in Gilead? I tell you, there is a balm in Gilead. There's a hurting God that is looking to give somebody. Revelation chapter 3 verse 17 says, because thou sayest, see, now hear me, it goes everywhere. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You don't even realize that you need God. And knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? In a generation that tells us when we got everything, we're increased with goods, we need God. So he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou may see. I come to tell somebody, God's got something to put on your eyes that you could see, that you need God, and not only that, that God's got something for you. He's got a mirror. Is there no balm? I come to ask somebody, is there not a God that can meet your need? I don't know what you're facing, but the prophet looked at him and said, is there no balm in Gilead? Have you ever seen a child walk in completely covered in sunburn? I remember I served, as you mentioned, somebody mentioned at camps. We always hoped the parents would send sunscreen because your kids are going to be running around the sun for 5 days. But if they didn't, we always had the nurses stationed with little packets of sunscreen. Yeah. And I can hear some mom, when a child gets home, saying, what in the world? Was there no sunscreen there? Yeah. And I want to tell them, Mom, yes, there was. We had it all the time. It was there, it was provided. And I hear the Holy Ghost telling us in this day, you've come too late to tell me there's not an answer for the drug addict. You've come too late to tell me there's not an answer for every sin. You've come too late to tell me that there's not a hope. I tell you, there's a balm in Gilead. And God's got something for whatever you're facing. Whatever hopelessness has walked into your life this morning, hear me. You need to march to an altar and say, God has got something for my life. Let me just read you a portion of scripture that I love. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, and he entered into a ship. Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into a city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. He was there lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, he saw some faith. I want you to hear something. God's got something when you got faith. He said unto the sick that was lying of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. I've got something for that. But he didn't answer them like they thought he'd answer. He said, your sins be forgiven thee. Because I want you to know, first and foremost, it is always the purpose of the gospel to let you know that whatever sin is in your life, God's got something for that. I've got a miracle. I went to the cross. I died. What are we going to do? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God looked at this young man and said, I've got something for your sin. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to arise and walk. He said, I had something for his sins. He said, but just that you know that the Son of Man had our power on earth to forgive sins, then he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise. I want to tell you two things. I got something for your sin. But because you scribes and Pharisees want to see what else I can do, I've got something for his palsy too. If you had any question, not only can I forgive sin, but I can raise him up out of that palsy. I've got something for that also. He said, so just to prove it to you, rise up and walk. And the man rose up and walked. I come to tell you, God's got something for everything in your life. It starts with your sin, but God's not finished there. He's got a miracle. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. A few verses later in verse 11, when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? You got to understand something. He said, Jesus heard it, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He said, you don't understand something. I've come with something for that. Whatever I've come with, you see me down with people that are downtrodden and broken. That's what I've come for. I've come with something for that. So don't get confused of why I mingle in places you wouldn't expect me to mingle. The whole don't need a physician, but there's a balm in Gilead. Jesus is the balm in Gilead. So I'm going to walk where I need to walk because I can forgive sin. I can make a man rise up. I've got something for that. I wish somebody would hear me today. I don't know what you're facing, but you ought to lift your hands and say, God's got something for my life. Come on, you ought to just lift up your voice in faith and say, God's got something. When Ruth came back with Naomi, she had nothing. Ruth comes back with Naomi, and she's lost everything. And Naomi, in verse number 1 of Ruth chapter 2, had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And we understand he's a foretelling of Jesus. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Somebody say grace. Grace. God's got something you didn't reserve or didn't deserve. It's called grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And when she came and went, she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. And Boaz said unto a servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel. She doesn't deserve anything. She's not one of us. She's a Moabite. And she came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean. She said to him, I'm just asking you, let me glean after the gathering of the reapers among the seas. So she came and continued from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. And then the Bible says that Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. I don't want you going anywhere else, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. I've prepared a place that you didn't even deserve because I've got something for that. And the Bible said she would follow the reapers, the easiest place, and just pick up what she could because God has already provided provided in his mercy something you didn't deserve. You're saying, preacher, you're preaching to people who deserve it. No, I'm not preaching to people who deserve it. He, while we were sinners, died for us. He brought us something to reap while we didn't deserve it. Hear me, somebody. God's got something for you you didn't even deserve. I was at the airport. I was dragging my little briefcase around, and somewhere I got picked up. I don't know how it happened, but I've been dragging for a long while, and I got to a place where I was stopping to sit, and I went to put my little thing down, you know, handle down, and I looked down, and dragging in my wheels with a bunch of lint, with a bunch of dirt, was a $20 bill. It was the first time I was evangelizing Brother Cox. I was young. I didn't have a lot of money. $20 was like a godsend. And I had a layover in that little airport. I found me a little restaurant. I had maybe 10 bucks of my own I was going to spend, but now I had 20. I had 30. And there was a little place, I think I was in Boston, somewhere there, and there was a little Red Lobster, or a little lobster place, not Red Lobster, and they served whole lobsters. And I went in there, and I thought, God hath provided. And I ordered me a lobster, the whole lobster. Here's the problem. I'd never eaten a lobster before. And they brought it out completely like it was. Not broken, not open, not the meat out. They brought out the lobster. Or however it was. I mean, it was, I don't know if I ordered the whole lobster. I have terrible memory, but it was somehow not. And so I got down real low in my seat. There was people sitting next to me. I got my phone out. And I called my mother-in-law and I said, hey. She said, what? I said, I'm talking real quiet because I'm in a restaurant. But I know you've had lobster before. I've got a lobster sitting in front of me. And I don't know what to do. And she said, well, you take it and you start cracking it this way and that way. You see that? Yeah. I said, okay. I'm going to try that. Stay near your phone. In case I got to call you back. Here I was sitting in a place. I didn't deserve that thing. I knew nothing about it. But dragging along somewhere, I picked up something I didn't even deserve. I look back and think I didn't deserve some things that I've picked up in my life. I walk a little ways and realize there's some blessings I have gotten through living for God because God had something for it that I didn't even deserve. I had been coming along behind Boaz as if it were, and God said, I want to tell you something. Is there no balm? I've got a field for you. I've got a field that is ripe, so I want you to get behind it. I want you, somebody needs to hear me. You're saying, I don't deserve what God might give me in this altar today. You may not deserve it, but that doesn't stop God. God's got something for you. He's got a miracle. He's got an answer. Hear the word of the Lord today. God's got something for that. You say, I don't deserve it. Hear me. None of us did. So I come to tell you, there's no deficiency in my God. He's not run out of the Holy Ghost. He's not run out of remission of sins. If you need your sins remitted, there is baptism ready for you. If you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, God's got something for that. If you've never repented and been forgiven of your sins, he's not run out. He is not deficient. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 9 says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. I went to a restaurant the other night. They ran out of steak completely. You wanted steak, you couldn't have it. You wanted steak wontons, you couldn't have it. If you wanted steak anything, you couldn't have it. All you could get was chicken. You've not come to that kind of church today. You've come to a church that God is here and he's not run out. He's not slack concerning his promises, but long-suffering. He's not run out because you waited too long. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've come to tell you, God has got something. So what's holding you back? There's a woman who's been thrown down in front of the Lord and in front of a great host of dignified men. And they said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. But God's got something for that. And he begins to write stoop down. You say, would God stoop down to where I'm at? Yeah, he's got something for that. I don't feel much hope right now. God's got something for that. And he stooped down and said, ma'am, when this is all over, I'm going to have something for you. He looked at her and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You've been waiting for God to stand up and condemn you, but he's actually got something for your heart. He's got something. So I tell you, God's got something for that. There was a woman with an issue of blood who had tried everything she could. She had spent all of her money. She had tried it every way. And she touched the hem of his garment. She said, I don't know what to do, but if I can just get to Jesus, and he may not even know, but if I can touch the hem of his garment, and God's got something for that. Virtue flowed from the hem of his garment into her life. I'm here to tell you, God's got something. You've tried it all. But God's got something for that. And there was a man. There was the pool of Bethesda. And if you could get it in the... They said when the waters were troubled, if you could get there, you could be healed, the first one. And when Jesus comes by, he says, I've got no one. And I've got nothing. And Jesus says, I've got something for that. Death, where is thy sting? I've got something for that. Grave, where is thy victory? I've got something for that. Cancer, where is your hope? I've got something for that. Paul said, neither life nor death. Nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So I've just come to tell somebody today, I don't know what you're facing and what your family's going through, but is there, I hear the prophet looking out and saying, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no anointing oil? Is there no power of the Holy Ghost? I want to tell you, there is. He was simply saying, Jeremiah was saying, you're not having it because you don't put your faith forward to believe it. But if you'll just put your step forward and you'll just put your faith forward, I've come to tell you, I've got a balm and I am the balm. That's why when they start singing, Jesus is the balm in Gilead, somebody ought to get excited and say, he's got something for me. I'm not hopeless. I'm not in pain. I'm not hurting. Somebody stand with me this morning. Music comes. Come on, God's got something for that. Come on, why don't you lift your hands right now? Oh,
hallelujah.
So if you could tell me you stood and shouted, crucify him. In our flesh, we would have said, there's not much hope for that. You yelled, crucify him. In our flesh, we might have said, oh. But Peter had already realized and been filled again and born with the Spirit, even over Peter's mistake. The Lord had said, hey, Peter, I know you denied me, but tell the disciples and Peter, I got something for that. I know he cursed me. I know he just spent a night cursing me. So Peter had no doubt looking at people and saying, I just cursed him and didn't say I didn't know him. So who you crucified? I got something for that. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I got something for that. But I will say, we find a determining factor of where God has something for. You can read it in almost every story. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's got something for that. Can I put it in my own words? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible. He's a rewarder of them that say, I'm going back Sunday to the altar because he's got something for me this week in my life. There was a man, I'll just close with this, who was blind, and we don't know all the reasons why. But they came to Jericho, and as they went out, disciples seen a great number of people, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, I don't know how he knew, but he said, he's got something for this. So he said, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him and said, you need to shut up. You need to be quiet. You need to, You don't need to go to that altar today. You don't need to lift up your hands and say, God, forgive me. You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to seek the Holy Ghost. You don't need to ask God to heal you of your disease. You just need to be quiet. But God says, there's somebody that believes I've got something for that. So he cried out a little louder and said, Jesus. And God said, when I see that kind of faith, everywhere he saw that kind of faith, he was saying, that's great faith. Somebody believes there's a balm in Gilead. Could I just preach to somebody at this altar? It's time to step out one more time. Lift up your hands and say, God's got something. I'm tired of the enemy telling me he doesn't. God's got something for my family. God's got something for my life. God's got a miracle in my life. Come on, would you lift your hands? Come on, somebody begin to pray. Somebody begin to step out to an altar. Come on, somebody say, I'm coming, Lord. You got something for it. Come on, somebody. You've never repented. I want you to know God's got something for that. You need a healing. God's got something for that. You need a miracle. God's got something for that. Come on, as they begin to sing, hands raised. Come on, let's make our way. Somebody believing for a miracle today. Somebody believing for the supernatural today. Somebody stepping out. Somebody saying, I believe it.
He's got a remedy for that. You will not leave this building from this day forward and know that God can do it. Don't say it's impossible, because God's got a remedy for that. Brother Anderson, you just changed the page to a new chapter. A new chapter. And it's going to be worth reading of the victories, of the triumphs of the church in lives. Wow. Wow. God has a remedy for that. The blood of Jesus Christ, the name. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. My new favorite word is wow. You cannot leave this building from this day forward and rest your life thinking that God cannot do anything for you or your family or your situation or your job, because he has a remedy for that. There is a balm of Gilead. I've heard it said oftentimes, boy, they're the bomb. No, Jesus is the bomb. He's the Gilead. Wow. Thank you, Brother Anderson. Thank you, thank you, thank you.